Illinois School District U46 Progressives foment hate. A second article was needed to address adequately the problems exposed in Monday's school board meeting in Illinois School District U46 in the Elgin area. It's important for taxpayers in every community to pay close attention to what is being done and said by leaders in U46 because the serious issues regarding modesty, privacy, the meaning of biological sex, parental rights, and gender dysphoria will confront every community. And the arrogance, ignorance, and hypocrisy of progressives who are driving this destructive assault on truth and reality will need to be identified and boldly confronted. Board member Tracy O'Neill Ellis inadvertently let the cat out of the bag progressives furtively carry about and use to humiliate conservatives into silence and submission. But first, some background is in order. Any conservative who opposes the inclusion of the term sexual orientation, code word for homosexuality, or gender identity in anti-discrimination policies is routinely called hateful and falsely accused of either not caring about the bullying of homosexual and gender dysphoric students or of actively supporting such bullying. School board member Jeanette Ward has been on the receiving end of such malignant and false accusations. It is not a desire to harm students that leads conservatives to oppose the inclusion of conditions constituted by subjective feelings and volitional acts rather than objective, immutable, non-behavioral conditions, for example, race, sex, and national origin. All decent people, and yes, the vast majority of conservatives are decent people, oppose bullying of any person for any reason. Rather, the reasons conservatives oppose the inclusion of these conditions in anti-discrimination policies are these. One, it opens the door for other conditions similarly constituted to be added to anti-discrimination policies. Two, it inevitably leads to the erosion of religious liberty. Three, such policies are later exploited for purposes perhaps intended but never mentioned. In other words, progressives use the old bait-and-switch stratagem, knowing that gullible or gutless conservatives will fall for it. So, back to Ellis's revelatory comments. She referred to the district's existing anti-discrimination policy that she said has not changed. Well, what she means is it hasn't changed since 2013 when it changed. Ellis implied, without stating, that the non-changing existing policy mandates that gender dysphoric boys be allowed in girls' locker rooms and vice versa. Is that how the addition of the term gender identity to school anti-discrimination policies is ever explained, promoted, or justified to community members? In 2013, U46's school board, which had exactly zero conservative representation, so much for diversity, added gender identity to its anti-discrimination policy at the suggestion of school attorney Miguel Rodriguez. I can't find in board minutes an account of the discussion that took place prior to the vote, so I wonder what arguments were put forth to defend the addition. Did school board members inform parents that this policy change was needed in order to ensure that gender dysphoric boys would be allowed in the girls' restrooms and locker rooms? Or was it promoted as an effective tool for curbing bullying? Did community members assume the policy was changed to prevent harassment and abuse only to see it now used to justify co-ed locker rooms? Ironically, the footnotes in the board documents recommending the change, a change that Ellis now suggests requires sex-integrated locker rooms, cites the Illinois Human Rights Act, which states the exact opposite. It states, and I quote, "The Act permits schools to maintain single-sex facilities that are distinctly private in nature, for example, restrooms and locker rooms," end quote. It's important to note that the policy that changed was applicable only to, and I quote, educational and extracurricular opportunities, end quote, not to bathroom and locker room usage. And Title IX of the Education Amendments of 1972 specifically states that schools may maintain sex-separated locker rooms and restrooms. Ellis, the school board member who suggested that those who oppose co-ed locker rooms are exercising authority without wisdom and are bruising children, is the same board member who referred to the Republican National Convention as the Klanvention, K-L-A-N-vention, on her Facebook page. Inquiring minds want to know if such a slur might erode the trust conservative community members have in her ability to honor her oath to, quote, represent all school district constituents honestly and equally, end quote. Ellis concluded her school board statement Monday night with these hollow words, and I quote, "And to our students, I offer this to you. If you are straight, bisexual, gay, lesbian, transgender, gender nonconforming, queer, questioning, white, black, Latino, Asian, Native, American, biracial, or any other racial, ethnic, or national origin, if you score a perfect score on the SAT and are headed to Harvard, or you graduate dead last in your class, if you are able-bodied or disabled, if you are low income or the child of the most affluent family in the district, if you have one, two, or no parents, if you are Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Scientologist, atheist, agnostic, or of any other belief, however you show up in U46, when you cross the threshold of a U46 school, I welcome you. You are not less than. And because you are welcome here, that means that as a district, we have to work to meet your unique needs and well-being while balancing others' needs and well-being. In other words, we must exercise our authority with wisdom in order to polish, not bruise you." End quote. I wonder if Republican students believe those words. And who liked her Klanvention Facebook comment? None other than U46 attorney Miguel Rodriguez, the person who recommended adding gender identity to school board policy. Although Bartlett High School English teacher Gary Lorber's macro-aggressive conduct at the board meeting, which I discussed in a prior article, may have been unusual conduct for a teacher, his views are widely held by progressive teachers in government schools who self-righteously view themselves as agents of change and have assigned themselves the duty of shaping the moral and political views of other people's children. In my experience, this kind of arrogant teacher is overrepresented in English departments. They, like many on the U46 school board, want government schools to have no conservative representation in leadership or teaching positions. One conservative member on a board of seven is one too many for the Disciples of Diversity. Lorber's intemperate treatment of Mrs. Ward, especially his maudlin concluding insult, was unprofessional and cruel. I hope you can find 3 minutes to watch this video, which is linked in this article online. But in case you can't, here is a bit of what he said to board member Mrs. Ward. And I quote, "I do not know how you have become so hateful. I wonder what a little girl thinks of you when she looks into your eyes. I wonder what hatred you indoctrinated into her eyes when she looks into yours." End quote. If a conservative had said anything approaching this, he or she would be vilified as a hateful bully. I have never seen a teacher so brazenly and perniciously attack his own school board member. No child of mine would ever sit in a classroom under the tutelage of a teacher so devoid of tolerance, respect, decorum, civility, and humility. U46 board policies state the following, and I quote, "All district employees are expected to maintain high standards in their school relationships, to demonstrate integrity and honesty, to be considerate and cooperative, and to maintain professional relationships, end quote. When the board and administration reviews Mr. Lorber's statement, do they hear the voice of a considerate, cooperative, and professional staff member? I wonder what would happen if a conservative teacher in U46 showed up at a school board meeting and said the exact same things Lorber said to Mrs. Ward. Two speakers at Monday night's meeting alluded to Mrs. Ward's support coming from a hate group. Rich Jacobs, husband to Kane County homosexual Judge John Dalton, referred to fringe political groups known for hate and divisiveness, and school board member Veronica Noland referred to a group labeled as a hate group by the, ethically dubious, Southern Poverty Law Center. Because of my keen powers of deduction, I suspect the allusions were to the Illinois Family Institute, and therefore I think some context is warranted. And I know from statements made by multiple school board members that the board takes pride in listening and learning from hearing from diverse voices, after which some members hurl ugly accusations without evidence. So, since the left loves them some yum-yum Southern Impoverished Law Center putrescent pottage, I have included 5 articles about the SPLC, which are available in the online version of this article. The first 3 detail my experiences with the infamous Mark Potok and his laughably named intelligence report. They reveal how deceitful and hapless Potok is and how bogus is his hate groups list. It's clear that the SPLC, like some of the U46 board members and faculty, has redefined hate to include the expression of moral and ontological propositions with which they disagree. Perhaps these particular board and faculty members hate those with whom they disagree, but they ought not project their modus operandi onto others. Most people are capable of deeply loving those who hold different beliefs and act in accordance with their beliefs. Most of us, in this wildly diverse world, do it every day. I wonder, do these board and faculty members hurl the same ugly epithets at Muslim and Orthodox Jewish students and their parents who likely hold conservative views regarding co-ed restrooms and locker rooms? Finally, I would argue it is progressives who act and speak in destructive ways that foment hate, by relentlessly telling children and teens that those who believe that biological sex is profoundly meaningful hate those who reject their biological sex. That is a pernicious lie that undermines the possibility of dialogue with and relationships between people who hold different beliefs. Such a lie works against the purported goal of U46 school board members of creating and sustaining diverse communities. By its nature, a diverse community will include those who hold diverse views, including on matters sexual. What progressives seek is a diverse community and a diverse school board in which everyone thinks just like them. Here's what progressives, in their ignorance, arrogance, and self-righteousness, refuse to acknowledge. Conservatives believe as strongly that progressive views on modesty, privacy, biological sex, and gender dysphoria are ignorant and destructive as progressives believe conservative views are.